Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Get your brand on board with our pod with a sponsorship campaign and get into the earphones of 100,000 plus highly engaged listeners within our show and across Acast's other famous podcasts. I'll even come up with the creative for you. Get in touch via producerpaul.co.uk and we'll have a chat about how it works. Hello and welcome to another edition of your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Greetings one and all. Thank you for coming back to us. It's lovely to have you here. Thank you to our wonderful patrons for helping us to keep the lights on. Thank you to you guys for listening in the first place. Because if you didn't listen, it'd just be me shouting at a booth, in a booth, and just basically talking to myself. So, thank you. Really appreciate that. Before we begin, I'm going to tell you this. We've had some more five-star reviews. And I want to read this one because I realise it's not me bragging and showing off. This is a really nice one. And because it's a lady as well. And you're like, oh, cool, man. So it's 5 stars. As a female fan, I appreciate the topics and perspective discussed on this podcast. Unique and helpful to hear men being so honest, vulnerable and compassionate. Oh, and funny. I always feel better after the show and find myself thinking about points they raised days later. Thank you. Thank you. That's from Windy Lawyer. Which is via Apple Podcasts, and that's in the United States of America. So, Windy Lawyer, would you be in Chicago if you're windy? Is that, yeah, the Windy City? Maybe you are, or maybe you like beans. I don't know. See, I've already sullied it by doing that. So, thank you, Windy Lawyer. Very, very much appreciated. If anyone else wants to jump up and leave us a review, we'd love you to do that, because then it pushes us up into the ears of more people, more people take more notice, and that'd be great. So, on with the show. This week, I was joined by a double international award nominated comedian, Loiso Gola. And it was an absolute joy to have him on, as it always is. The guests are always brilliant. And it was really good of him to take time out of his busy schedule. He had to fly back to Cape Town because he was attending a funeral, but he still made time to come and talk to us. You know, he was knackered, bless him. He's in the middle of promoting his he's got a new show out. It's a brand new hour-long comedy special, Unlearning, which was recorded in Cape Town. So he was in the middle of that, you know, he's out on the campaign trail pushing that. And he had personal stuff to deal with, but he still found time, and really appreciated him doing that. So it's really cool. Thank you to him for doing that. It was a good chat as well. Like, we talked about all about things like Cape Town and comedy and other recent events. Because I don't really know much about the history of South Africa. I haven't really looked into it that much. And you'll hear that at the beginning. My ignorance shines through as always. But it comes from a place of love. It's just that I haven't done enough reading. And I should do, and I will do. Because there are obviously things I need to explore and would like to explore. There's such a fascinating world out there that I need to look more into. We all do. We should all take notice and have a look around. So, anyway, I'll stop rambling. Let's go on with the show. Coming up in a minute, Loiso Gola.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
A podcast from producer Paul.co.uk.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, man. It's good to see you. Good to see you. How you been? You good?
Yeah, I've been good. Been great. Been doing tons of press.
Just yeah, you must be knackered now, man.
Yeah. I had to fly to Cape Town yesterday for a funeral, and then I came back to Johannesburg, so that also just kind of killed me.
Oh, wow, man. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't realise you were that. It's been that full on. Sorry, man. But
no, it's all good.
It's all good.
But it's all good. Besides that, problem. I'm good.
I tell you what, man. Before we do these chats, I always have a look to see a bit about the person, and it made me realise how uneducated I am when it comes to South Africa. And I know I'm not the first person to say that. I was looking into your background, and there was a lot of words I'd never seen before. Even your, how to pronounce your name? Is it Loyoso?
Loyoso.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's funny when in this country, when someone they go, oh, that's an unusual name. Well, not where I'm from. It's unusual. Your name is unusual where I'm from, Dave.
My name is very common. It's like a Dave as well.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. But you must be fucked, man. You've had a lot of back and forth. I mean, that's not going to be good for your mental health.
Oh, no. I think my mental health is intact. I just think I'm going to be tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my big thing. I'm like, oh, I'm going to fold soon. But yeah, I mean, it's fine.
You're all right.
Just for a small time, then I'll be good. Are we recording this?
Yeah. This is it, man.
Can you hear me chewing?
I can hear you. Yeah, well, that's all right. It's not a problem.
Okay, I'm just eating some nuts, and I'm like, I hope the audio doesn't, like...
I'm sure it'll be fine. I can't hear it. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's all good.
Okay, I'm going to chew my last batch, and then I'm just going to put it out.
Oh, man. You got to get it where you can.
Yeah, but everything is fine. The country is pretty much open, and yeah, it's good times.
Yeah, oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I feel here in the UK, there's that feeling of this might be it. We might be coming out the other side now. This might be, but I think people are still worried. They don't want to give into it completely and go, oh, yeah, we're ready. Here we go. Just in case it gets taken away again. That's the issue here.
What is there's a distrust with the government's capability?
Yeah, funnily enough. Yeah, because they've just been throughout this whole year, it's just been, they say one thing, then they do another, and people's trust is smashed. I think they've had enough. Mental health is, you know, especially when you see I don't have to tell you about corrupt governments, but it's so blatant now. Like, whereas before we kind of knew it was happening and you kind of, yeah, we know, but now it's right in front of our eyes that these politicians are just taking money and handing it out to their friends, and you just have to stand there and just—it's mind blowing.
They're brazen.
Yeah, that's it. The brazenness of it. You kind of like—I just saw you go. Hey, there's no money for nurses. You go. I've just seen you give $39 billion to your mate. Yeah, but that's for something else. We haven't got any money for nurses. And you're just like, what the fuck? I don't think we're used to that in the UK. We know they're dodgy, but they're not normally as brazen as that.
It's like how kids are, you know. If you don't call them, if you don't reprimand them enough for, you know, the first, they kind of they push and see what they can get away with. Oh my word, kid is, you know, out of control. But you gotta kind of nip it in the bud. Otherwise, it's going to get out of hand.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, and that's where we're at now is these giant kids have grown up and they're just, they've never been told no. They've never been told no. They can just, because it's just help themselves, do whatever they want. And we have to just sit there and go, well, don't really know what to do.
Yeah.
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 But I was watching some of your clips and you were talking about apartheid. And that's something else I only really knew about that when I was a kid, when they had all the, they had a lot of concerts over here, like Beat Apartheid and things like that. But I didn't really know a lot about it. And I can't imagine what it must have been like growing up in that environment.
I was a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, apartheid ended when I was, I was seven. I just remember like violence and stuff, but it's not, I can't explain it. Yeah, you're a kid, like you don't know, you don't have a reference to something else, but you know there's something going on, you know there's like, because you've been told about it even at a very young age, and so by 94, I was 10, I think. I was like 10 years old, but by then apartheid is like really over. And that's in the traditional, in that sense that it prohibits your movement and that kind of stuff. It was, it was over. So I didn't really experience it the way my mom experienced it.
No.
Where you can't go to a certain university, you can't go to, I did experience it in sort of like the residuals of it, the side effects almost.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh yeah, cool. What does that mean for? I think it was quite a very short-sighted way of planning life, on whoever was, it's like, oh, okay, cool. You're not going to allow a majority of the people to participate in the economy and yada, yada. And so now it's like, you created like such an unequal society.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to reverse that kind of stuff. And so you sit there and you go, it's like a weird thing. You created a society. But for me, people never take accountability for it. Every problem exists in isolation. I think every problem we have going forward, maybe for the next 200 years, is heavily to blame up with this thing. Yeah. And it could be as silly as like, but it's every decision that you made then has great implications, maybe for the next 50, 40, 100 years.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that this is not necessarily pertaining to the people who created apartheid. This is human beings. They just like to see things in isolation.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, this kid wasn't just a serial killer, man. There's something happening here that you need to investigate. Otherwise, you're going to repeat it.
Yeah. Well, that's it. And it's that what's just happened in America, like with that young kid, and they've gone, oh, he just had a bad day. And he goes, are you, what? He just, yeah. And it's like, are you fucking kidding? This is the thing as well that I was talking to someone else the other day, and they go, black people just don't want to talk about race all the time. And you go, yeah, but I want to talk about it in this instance, in these conversations, just to educate myself. More than anything, and it blows my mind that people still don't understand that the system is racist. The systemic racism is the problem. We're still having those chats.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't even want to talk about race in that sense because I'm like, well, if it's not clear to you, it's like if there's an issue in the world, I can tell you about it, but I'm not like trying to convince you this is an issue because I know it's an issue and you. Which sometimes I go, yeah, but I think you do get it. I just think you being stubborn about it. And then I'm like, well, at that point, that it's not my responsibility to. I can tell you about it, which will be crazy as well. It's like the biggest movie is coming out, and then you like, I don't know, coming to America. I don't know what's the biggest move. And then I just pop up and I go, yo, I've heard about from coming to America. And you're like, no. And then I'm like, come on, come to America. And I'm like, yo, bro, it's the biggest release. There's billboards everywhere. What do you mean you don't?
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you don't know by now.
You don't know by now. I mean,
yeah.
The thing that also pisses me off about racism is Black people are the victims, the educators, and the funders of, and you know what I mean? I'm like,
It's all on you.
Which is fine because that shows agency, but I'm like, at some point you got to come on board. I thought at some point you've been an asshole, you know? Like if, you know what I mean? Like Michael Jordan donated 100 million LeBron, all these sports, these athletes are like, yo, let's fight this thing. And then I'm on podcasts educating people about this thing. And then also at the same, in the same breath, I could still experience this thing. I'm like, but guys, I'm like the triple threat. You know what I mean?
When do you get a day off?
Yeah. So I'm like, at some point, I gotta live my life. You know?
Yeah, of course, man. Yeah.
But if at some point I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But also, racism is so illogical in terms of like the arguments are so illogical that you don't want to partake. Like racism is so to a large extent illogical that when you argue against it, you're using logic.
Yeah.
So that those are two different worlds. Those are two different planets of communication. So then you go, okay, cool. So when someone is racist to me, I'm like, oh, unicorns make pancakes. I understand in that weird way, but it's like, and so that's how we should treat racism. If someone says some racist stuff, you just say some completely peculiar things and move on with your life. I'm like, you know what I mean? Because this doesn't make sense to me.
No. Well, that's it. I sort of look at it from the outside. I'm like, yeah, this is it just blows my mind, especially now when it's like we've said, like you've said, people are just, they're obviously choosing to ignore it. They're just going, no, I know how I see it. This is unfair. I feel like I'm getting my life changed now, you know, and I didn't do anything. All lives matter and all that. And they're going, no, just fucking listen. No one's taking anything away from you. It does my fucking head in.
I get it. See, you think you're frustrated. I'm just like, oh my God. So you'll do a YouTube video or something ends up in, and then you're talking about race. And it's crazy, like the idea of race issues in a Black person's life are literally a daily thing.
Mm.
I don't think there's a single day in my life where I don't look at anything sort of play. It's all, because it's, That's how the world is. You're like, oh yeah, that's, oh, okay.
Mm.
I'm watching telly, I'm this, I'm in a hotel, I'm like, literally wherever I am. I'm aware that I'm Black and I'm aware how people treat me because of that. And then I go, okay, cool. How do I move around the world? But I think about it every single day of my life, every single day.
Yeah. Which is just crazy when you shouldn't have to. It shouldn't matter. And that's the thing. Like we were just talking about just now, when do you get a day off?
Yeah. So when you talk about it, someone will say, oh man, why is it always about race? And you're like, dude, you kind of have a system that just makes everything about race. And then I'm like, supposed to, you know what I mean? But yeah. It is what it is. It is what it is.
Well, when did you get into comedy? When did you start that? I was looking at that. What made you want to do that? You just went, you just saw comedy and went, that's what I want to do. That's it. Is there something in you?
I just started doing it in school, in high school.
Yeah.
Because the drama teacher just implored me to do it. She's like, just do it. Just do it. I don't know if you guys have that in Britain. I mean, even here, it's not that common, but my school had it. It's like job shadow. You know a job shadow?
Yeah. I saw that as what you'd been doing when you're just following people around.
So people went to law firms and stuff like that. And I just followed some comics for like a week.
Brilliant. They wouldn't. I don't think they would have even given you that opportunity in the UK. It wouldn't have been seen as a a valid thing, a valid use of your time. You would be better off. They would, if you just said, yeah, I want to go to a law firm or a bank, or I'm going to be a chef. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Oh, I'm going to follow comedians around for a week or two. They'd be like,
well, retrospectively looking at it, it was quite a progressive idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the one thing I love about comedy is that it transcends everything. When you look out at a room of people from all different backgrounds and they're all laughing and they're all slapping their thighs and it doesn't matter where they're from or what they do, they're all unified in that one moment. It's the same in music when you're watching a band. It's just music, yeah. Comedy, it just transcends everything, and it's a beautiful moment, and that's what I love. That's why I love doing it. It just brings everyone together, and I've missed that this last year. You know,
I'll be honest, I have not missed being on stage.
You know,
and I'm like, no. I mean, it's like a good break. I understand. I know when I get on stage, I'm gonna have to, you know, be on. Like, I'm gonna. It's not like something that I do temporarily. It's like a full-time thing. So it's not like I can jump on stage now and then jump again on stage in 2 weeks. It doesn't work that way.
No.
The way it works is like you gotta just get on every day. So and for me, the thing is that I don't use stand-up as a career stepping stone.
No. This is what you
I do. Just I it's like a, it's what I do. It's like I don't know if you ever played at Top Secret Comedy Club.
No, I know of it, yeah.
So I can go there for like 3 weeks straight and just play every day and just write material and try and make it better. But I don't want to be like trying to get in movies and that kind of stuff. I know a lot of guys are trying, and that's fine, I get it. But for me, I'm like, how would I be in a movie set? I could be in a comedy club trying to make bits of material funny.
Yeah.
That's the thing that gets me up at night. You know? In the morning. Gets you up at night is a bad thing. Well, I guess it also gets me up at night. I just love the idea of getting to these places and there's a room full of people and you just, you know, you do your bit, like you do it. You do your bit and it's, you know, and then you finish with that, you move to another place and you finish with that, you move to another place and you find yourself having done like four or five comedy, comedy shows a night.
Yeah.
That's what I like about London and New York. So I don't know how much longer that is going to be seductive to me. But at the moment, it's extremely like, it's like I'm so obsessed with that idea.
Yeah. It's funny when because I've been doing it a long time, same as you, and I got to a point and people go, right, what are you going to do now? And I'm like, I like doing this. Can I not just do this? I just want to do the gigs. Yeah. And but you got a plan, you got sitcoms and you got things, like you said. Yeah, but then there's acting. You go, I just like doing this. I really like traveling around making people laugh. Can I not just be that? Just a jester wandering around?
Yeah. So it seems like you're not ambitious or anything when you're like, nah, I really just want to do this. And I could stumble into things in terms of if someone is like, hey, you want to, I wrote this movie, I got this part for you, I'll probably come and do it. I'm not queuing to audition.
No.
For the part.
No. Yeah,
I'm just not going to do that. I'm like, that's not what I do. The same way, you know, the comedy clubs, I just don't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, you say you've done enough. They should know by now that you're more than capable of doing the.
It's not even that. I don't even. It's not about my capability. It's like, do I want to spend my time reading these lines?
Yeah.
Do I want to spend my time memorizing lines I'm going to say to an absolute stranger?
Yeah.
And pretending the person's my wife or whatever the case is. I don't care for that much. I just want to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like the fact nice things have happened because of comedy. I've been able to do some nice stuff, but yeah, I don't actively seek it out. It's like if it,
no,
like you say, if you get offered it and you go, yeah, fine. But if they go, oh, we want to give you this, but you got to go and stand in the rain for 2 hours, and then we might not. We might, why am I going to do that? I'll just go and do the gigs. You can go fuck yourself, to be honest. You know, I got I got asked to be. I was going to be the face of Greg's. You know, the Baker's. And, and they were, I was on the way there to the audition. That was it. I was on the way there. And then they said, oh, it's an audition. You haven't actually got it. And I'm like, hang on, right, hang on, stop. One, I don't want to do this anyway. But now you're telling me I've got to queue up with other chunky men. And then and I said, what's the money? What's the money? And they went, oh, well, it's 750 quid. And then it's £1,000. I'm like, £1,700. And my face will be in every baker shop in the land. And I might not even get that. And I'm like, no, this is nuts. This is nuts. And I just walked home, just went home.
What? The face of Craig's for that kind of money?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All the abuse that I would have gotten for that. And I'm like, no, what's this? This is bullshit, man. I'm not doing this. I'm better than that. Come on. You know?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, whatever you can live with is good. If you can live with that decision, that's a great thing. But I'm like, I've done a lot of stuff, but I realize now that like they're all such a lot of work, and I'd rather be putting my energy into writing stand-up.
Yeah.
Because that's also so much work. So I don't want to be a jack of all trades because it's you taking away from your stand-up time. And also, I'm lazy. No one admits to their laziness.
That's why I like doing it. Like you said, I like going to a club with just an idea of what I want to talk about and then working it out at the club over several nights. I can't sit with some paper and go, oh, I'm going to write 2 hours a day and most of that will go in the bin. You know, that's not how I'm built. I just want to roll out of bed, you know, tell everyone I'm a comedian, go and do my comedy and then just flap about the rest of the day, you know. But like you say, no one will miss it.
There's nothing that gives me joy like just chilling the whole day and then the whole time I'm like, oh, man, this is how I'm going to start the show tonight. And,
yeah.
You know, and I'm like, but, you know, now you want me to be in a set for like 4 hours and then I'm tired and, oh, no, come on.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stop it.
I was going to sit in my kitchen and, yeah, just think about the gig that I'm going to do.
Yeah. We'll make a horrible cheese sandwich.
Every time. I don't know what they put in cheese sandwiches in the shops. Some kind of magic that they sprinkle in.
And then because you never get it right in your house.
No, I make a, yeah, I get there, but it's not the same. It's not the same. But what was it? So did you grow up in, was it Cape Town you grew up in?
I grew up in Cape Town, yeah.
Yeah, and what was that like? So again, I don't know much about Cape Town, except what I've seen through the media, you know, and that. So what was it like? Is it a violent place? That's all I ever hear. When everyone ever brings it up, they go, oh.
Oh, no, I mean, it's definitely violent, but it's never not been violent.
No.
It was violent in the 80s and the 70s too. It wasn't like, never been a peaceful time. That's what I meant when I was saying the violence and the crime, it's not like something that's new. It just didn't pop out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So it's that's what happens. If you took any group of people, made resources for them scarce and put them in a cramped situation, yeah, it's gonna, it doesn't matter the race. They're gonna, if you go to, it's going to be, oh, man, okay, we all, like, scrambling to make ends meet. And but when I was young, when I was a teenager, but the thing about South Africa, because of the unequal society, is that you can buy yourself out of the everyday problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can have enough money to for those things to not really affect you as much as an ordinary human being.
Yeah.
Which is by in itself just a crazy idea. So my childhood was cool. My childhood was cool. It was great. Like, kind of did everything that my parents were trying to make it as cool and seamless as possible. So I didn't have like super hardships in that sense. Where it's like, oh, we can't. But it was like, yeah, it was fine. It was fine.
Yeah, I was the same. It's funny. We weren't poor, but we didn't have everything. Like, you always knew where stuff came from. It was always, you knew that effort had gone into giving you this nice life that you've got, you know?
Yeah, I knew that money didn't grow on trees.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, I guess.
But it's funny what you said about when you take away the bare minimum that people need and put them into cramped spaces, they're going to react. I remember I did some community work. I got in trouble with the police a few years ago, and I had to do some community work to make up for it. And I had 150 hours on this council estate in Tottenham. And I suddenly realized how privileged I was because I was in this estate, and they'd just been abandoned. This whole estate was falling down. There's no money being pumped into the area. And you're right. Of course, people are going to rise up and go, I'm just going to fend for myself then.
Yeah. So that's, you know, imagine you did that to like 60% of the population. Mm. These people are not allowed to buy land. They're not allowed to accumulate wealth. You're not even like systematically in that way trying to prevent them. You're making it outright against the law, you know. Which is by in itself quite also systematic, but yeah, it's quite brazen. It's quite a brazen way to hold someone back.
Yeah, and doing it, like you say, counteracts any, they would actually be a positive influence on the system. There's more people making money, so they're putting more money into it. So they're gonna so it's gonna create more. So I don't understand this need to oppress and suppress people. It's just power, isn't it? I guess it's just they've got.
It's counterintuitive.
Yeah, I see it on that basic level. I'm just it made me sad to see it firsthand what people were going through.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen some really grimy stuff in London, and I'm like, whoa. I remember, like, I mean, when I'm in London, sometimes I'm in the north, like Hackney side. I remember being there before it was gentrified, like just walking through and being like, oh, these are cunt. But now, because what gentrification does, they take a neighborhood which is fine, working class, even council vibes, and then it council estate vibes. But then what happens is they start making like a place where there's a 40-pound stink.
Yeah.
You're like, this is so crazy. I don't know if you've ever been to, have you ever been to Broadway Market?
Yeah.
Like, there's an Argentinian place there, makes some good steaks. I think you can get a steak for like £25, which is like, okay, this is mad. 40-pound steaks. And right behind that, it's like a council estate.
Yeah.
And then you're like, so there's now this frustration of like, listen, man, now I can't even afford things in my neighborhood. This is weird.
And that's, yeah. And then that anger starts to fester.
Yeah. And then also like a person who's, so one of my favorite things to be there is like, because it's like a Broadway Market, it's such a, Broadway Market, like on a Saturday morning, is such a sort of cool, fancy, hipster-ish thing to do in that way.
Yeah.
And I just love sometimes when the people who actually live in the council pop up in a while and just walk the street and they just mind in their own business, but it sort of disrupts this hipster aesthetic for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know what about it gives me joy, but it does.
These are the same people. These are the people. They'll sit round at night and they'll talk at length about the oppressions of the world and how this people are suffering and those people are suffering. And then they go out the next day and they charge £12 for a burger to someone. And you're like, you're part of this, you know, all that. And you did a load of cocaine last night. And you don't even know where that came from. And now you're charging 12 quid. But then you want to lecture me about straws.
Yeah, well, human beings are like that.
Yeah,
you know, like it's like how people think that after this pandemic, we're going to change our ways. No, it's not true at all. It's like in history, that's not the case. It's like, so you can be black, experience oppression, but still be homophobic.
Yeah,
you could be. You know, like the crazy thing is like in the 40s and 50s, white people came from Italy, Portugal, all over the place, Poland, Greece, to come to South Africa for opportunities that weren't allowed for black people. Mm. So to start businesses and that kind of thing. But these people weren't like, they were leaving like war situations. Some of them are running away from the Holocaust or from wherever it was. But when they got to South Africa, they didn't go, oh, this is very unjust, like what I just came from. They just plugged in and continued their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not how human beings work.
No, unfortunately. I had that conversation literally the other day when they were talking about comedy clubs going, oh, I can't wait till it opens back up again and we're back out and we're doing this. And you're like, no, it's going to be very different, very different in that respect. But yeah, like you say, human beings will always find a way to be fucking assholes to each other and get what they can, you know, over their brother rather than lifting each other up. It's kind of like stepping on each other to get wherever they want to get. And yeah, that will never change. Unfortunately.
No. I think that's quite innate in us.
You put it down to survival, but you know, yeah. But look, you've got your next Netflix coming out, Netflix special. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Excited about that?
I am. I mean, cool. I am. But remember, I've never released anything this big. So there's like this anxiousness. Are people going to get it? Is it what I have in my mind?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you have this thing and you in your mind, you have it a certain way. And then when it comes out, it might not reflect your idea.
Got
it.
Yeah.
Or it might not land the same way you had in mind in someone else's eyes.
I know what you mean. I reckon it's going to fly, man. I reckon it's going to fly.
Well, thank you. Those are very kind words. They keep me calm and warm at night.
Yeah, so later on when the darkness comes and you're struggling, just remember that, just listen to my voice saying, no, you're going to be fine. That'll keep you warm, man.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm actually, can you send me the audio of this?
So I can
take that bit out and play it in the back of my mind.
This will be your relaxation tape when you're just drifting. You're going to be fine. This has been lovely. I want to thank you for your time. I know you've been busy and you're full on, but this has been fantastic. And thank you for chatting to me.
Thank you for having me.
No, it's my pleasure, man. Where can we find you? Online.
Me?
Yeah.
No, forget me, online. I think people should just go watch the Netflix special. And that's my existence online. You can find me on Instagram and everywhere. Instagram, Twitter. But yeah, I think I'm gonna get on Sunday, I'm gonna get off those platforms.
It's happening a lot. People are starting to realize that it's causing more stress than it's worth. I've just deleted TikTok because I realized I'm a 49-year-old man.
Yeah, I don't even. Like TikTok's not for me, definitely.
No. And it was at the beginning of the pandemic, and my partner said, oh, you need this, keep you going. And then so I had it on my phone, but I never really did anything with it. And then it was yesterday. I'm like, what am I doing? Why is this still here? What's this? So that's gone. But yeah, I think people are starting to come away from it and get it. I think that's the thing as well. Being locked in for a year, you start to realize being outside and doing real things is far better than dancing on Instagram?
I know Instagram. I don't know. I've headed up to here with all that social media.
I don't blame you, man. I don't blame you. This has been fantastic. We'll let you get off.
Take care, man.
Thanks, man. It's been a pleasure. And this will go out, and I'll let you know, and it'll be great. It's going to be fine. You're going to be great. Don't worry.
Thank you. Take it easy. Bye. Insane in the
membrane. Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.